Well, I have to admit that I'm not an economist, so you can relax. The only thing worse than being an economist, I guess, is being a Scottish economist in an environment like this. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm absolutely delighted to be here this afternoon. First, let me thank Sida for the invitation to address this luncheon and to acknowledge the significant contribution that the association has toward public policy in Australia. It plays a commendable role and is highly respected. And the National Bank very much values association with CEDA, and therefore I'm particularly delighted to be here today. I was going to say, listening to Bob, that I'm going to be a little bit more optimistic. I'm talking as a banker, looking at the business environment. But true to form, CEDA have acknowledged or identified the key issue, really, that I think is occupying the minds of business people, of policymakers, and of regulators in the economy today, and that is, how do we navigate our way through a global economy that quite undoubtedly, in my opinion, has never been in such a state, at least over the last 25 years, or if not longer, and what does that mean for the Australian economy? Now, these obviously are issues or a question that's in the mind of all of us, and particularly, as I mentioned, in the minds of the business community, be the small dairy shop type businesses or growing mid-sized companies or even the multinationals. We're all facing into the same range of economic issues. And the way that we approach this whole environment is, I think, is a question of facing into reality. There's nothing to be gained in trying to fudge over the reality, the environment that we see out there. We've got to call the economic conditions for what they are, and we've got to look at the dire conditions that much of the financial system globally finds itself in, and we've got to face into that and deal with it as a reality. Now, within the National Australia Bank, in terms of the business environment, we publish a quarterly business confidence survey, which many of you will be familiar with, and the recent June survey showed that business confidence, and this graph only goes back a few years, showed that business confidence has hit a significant low. And in fact, some people say it's at a low comparable to 1991. I believe it's actually more severe than that as things stand today. The similar figures are produced by the Reserve Bank, showing the demand for housing credit, for the household sector credit, and commercial finance all coming off quite steeply. And that, of course, is reflecting the extent to which confidence has come off quite steeply and very quickly, in fact, over the last 6 months or so. But my sense is that it's very easy to look at all of these indicators and feel quite despondent about what they are telling us. And it's quite easy to talk yourself into some gloom and therefore almost self-fulfilling in terms of your attitude towards the economy and the way you think about investment. See yourself in a very difficult market going forward for the next foreseeable future. But I think that disguises a couple of realities. First of all, the correction that we've seen in recent times has to be put in context of significant highs that we've seen in recent years. So there was always going to be some correction from those highs, which arguably were never quite sustainable. And so there's an element of that. But when you look across the long-term average, I don't think there's enough evidence in our economy today to start feeling that we are heading into a spiral of decline that would lead to a recession. So doomsday predictions are not something that we believe to be the case at the National Australia Bank. We've got to keep in mind that the economy, in many aspects of the economy, is actually very strong. Bob talked about employment is very strong. There are parts of the economy that are growing quite well, largely on the back, of course, of the resource boom. But the system itself, in many aspects, is in good shape. But like many shocks, just to repeat an earlier comment, people very quickly go to the problem, convince themselves there's an emerging crisis, and then we start talking about how the whole world is going to end very quickly. I think we've overstated that case. The media, of course, has played quite a big role. And whilst it plays a productive role in creating awareness, there's a tipping point where people start feeling that the media is reflecting the reality, and therefore you start getting into a self-fulfilling issue. Now, from our perspective, therefore, we think to some extent there has been an overreaction. When we look at the equity markets, and Bob and I were just talking about this at lunchtime, there is evidence of a disconnect between the way the equity markets are valuing some of our companies and the operating performance of those companies. Now, whether that's a leading indicator or not, I'm not going to get into that debate. Equity markets do overshoot on the upside and they do overshoot on the downside, and I think there's an element of that. But the one reality that we can acknowledge is that the credit markets have changed and that the credit markets are repricing, and that is happening as much in Australia as it is happening around the world. From where we're sitting and from what we're seeing in the credit markets, that the credit markets are really starting to reprice back to a more sustainable equilibrium, having had a period where risk had been significantly underpriced in some parts of the financial markets. So this correction in credit spreads and in the cost of capital, if you will, is a healthy correction that needed to take place in order to underpin a sustainable and strong financial system. For other sections of the global economy, of course, there have been some significant adjustments, and Bob talked about the US as a case in point. But we want to be crystal clear on this point that the reality or the experience in the US and the experience in some of the other Anglo-Saxon OECD economies is not the reality that we have here in Australia. Despite, as I said earlier, how some of the media might try to portray that, it's not the reality that we have here in Australia. One of the reasons why it's not the reality is that the Australian banking system and the financial system, but the banking system in particular, is in very good condition and is in a position to meet the credit and financing requirements of corporate Australia. I think a nightmare scenario, and not dissimilar to what we're seeing in the United States, is an economy that's under stress and a banking system that's under significant stress. And therefore, you know, it'll find an equilibrium at a very low level. The Australian banking system, as I say, is in a very strong position right now. And strong banks, as a number of key policymakers have mentioned in recent times, help mitigate the consequences of economic pressures in other parts of the economy, and particularly the impact of global inflows. Now, this is not just the NAB or the other banks talking the book or fudging a position. The view that the banks are in the financial system is in good shape is a view that the Reserve Bank have echoed or mentioned several times in recent times, and particularly the Reserve Bank Governor or Deputy Governor recently mentioned that the Australian banks are in strong condition and having no difficulty financing themselves in the international capital markets. And certainly from our perspective, there's nothing, even though the price of some of that funding has gone up, there is nothing to say that our ability to access capital or liquidity is going to present a problem to the banking system here, at least in the foreseeable future. So notwithstanding that backdrop, going back to my earlier comments, there is no getting away from the fact that the business community, be it small or large companies, are increasingly concerned about a whole range of factors. Things like the high-profile corporate collapses and corporate crises that we've seen with companies like MFS and ALCO and Centro, just to mention a few, have left an impression in the minds of many that perhaps this is a tipping point and there are more corporate crises and corrections to take place, and that we're therefore heading for more trouble. As a general statement, that is not the way that we are seeing things right now. There is no doubt, however, and this is very important, that when you do get a change in business confidence and a correction of the economy, that poor business models and poor management very quickly get found out. Rising tide will lift a whole lot of ships, but when the tide changes, poor businesses get found out, and that will continue to be the case. But let's not, therefore, extrapolate those few cases into a big problem, because that's not the case. Now, let me just, however, give a little bit of perspective on that. There has been various research published in recent times from the Brookings houses, particularly as a piece of research by ABN AMRO and Dun & Bradstreet, that talked about a higher risk profile in corporate Australia that therefore reflected higher risk profile for the banking community. And they gave a lot of stats, and I think the ABN AMRO and the Dun & Bradstreet research said that 1 in 12 companies in corporate Australia are now significantly more riskier today than they were 12 months ago. Now, a reasonable question to ask yourself is, well, how and why has this suddenly changed? Apart from the poor business models, how can we go from a situation less than a year ago and even 6 months ago when the corporate sector felt okay, where confidence was quite high on the back of 15 years of confidence, to a situation today where some people are talking about gloom and despondency and significant downturns. Now just going back about a year ago, some of you might recall a piece of research that was published by Price Waterhouse that looked at the private business barometer, companies with $10 and $100 million turnover, and those companies were forecasting significant growth. So therefore, why have we suddenly had this change? Well, I like to think of this in many ways as the similar to the boiled frog analogy, which some of you may be familiar with. If you take a frog and drop it into a pot of cold water, or hot water rather, it'll immediately jump out. If you put a frog into a pot of cold water and turn the temperature up, it'll sit there and not sense the change in temperature until it ultimately dies. And therefore, the question that I have in mind is, have businesses been attuned to some subtle changes in the economic and business environment over recent times, and therefore made the right kind of adjustments? And I think the corrections that we're seeing now reflect that. You do, indeed. So I just want to close off for 30 seconds. From our perspective, we do not see cause for businesses to be overly concerned about the environment. We do feel cause that businesses need to be realistic. But from the bank's perspective, and I just want to close on an ad that we are running that highlights the fact here that how strong the banks are, that we are reminding corporate Australia that last year NAB invested over $90 billion of debt into businesses, and we're very much open for business, as I think is a statement true of the banking system generally. So despite turbulent times, we're in very good condition.